while we're listening to this. I want to tell you a little bit about the show. Highway to Heaven is a song. Highway to Recovery is the way to get there, be there, love there, and be who you are. Many, many times we've had people call in or even just write me and say, why are you doing this? It's easy. The answer is very simple. We're doing it for you.
Hi, and welcome to Pyramid One Radio Network. Let me tell you about this new show called Highway to Recovery. It has two hosts. Yes, co-hosts. Let me tell you about the first one. Her name is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. She shares in casual conversation topics of health, wellness, and spirituality to transform your life. Her guests are authors, physicians, spiritual leaders, and people who wish to share a message of hope as the world evolves through daily challenges. The conversations may ease your concerns, encourage deep laughter, or challenge your beliefs, but you will come away with a sense of something has stirred inside of you, and you just can't wait to share it with others. Dr. Jeanette's book, Trust, Photo Meditations, is an inspirational journey to find the softness and comfort in the world around us. Dr. Jeanette is a visionary, spiritual guide, an inspirational author, and radio host. Her specialty is in helping others remember that life, our life, is a great gift. No matter what we are going through, Dr. Jeanette is in the healing of the heart and spirit business and loves every moment. Now, myself, Bob Charles. As a radio host, I believe people have the right to be heard, and on my radio shows, I always let people in our glorious world speak through the guests I bring on this show. I also have promised myself that I will never, ever allow the show to sound like other shows, as we all have a voice, and all of the voices you hear are different. The world is listening. Highway to Recovery is proud to present Rob Hill, our guest, a former addict. You can shed light on what it is like to be an addict and how a higher power, if you allow it, catches you by the hand and brings you back to the world and the ones you love. Let me explain. There's not a lot written from an addict to the public. Not a lot at all. So what I did was, I put together something that maybe you can understand what it's like to be an addict or how to help one while we're listening to this show. For an addict, using alcohol or drugs makes them feel in control of their lives. Many addicts convince themselves that they only use by choice. They can stop any time they want. But in reality, it's just the opposite. Drug and alcohol addiction controls the lives of the addict so much they harm themselves and the ones that they love. Addicts cannot stop themselves. And the sooner they get help from a treatment facility or a program, the better off they will be. If it was only the addict's life affected by his or her drug or alcohol use, this might be true. However, drug and alcohol abuse often comes with dishonesty, legal troubles, financial issues, abusive behavior, and much more. It's not just the addict's life being ruined by addiction. It's friends, family, co-workers also feel the effects, even if they are not using themselves. Let me take you through a bunch of things that I've actually put numbers on
so that you can understand. Number one, drinking or using drugs when alone. Now, these are all things that addicts do. Listen carefully and understand what I'm saying. Number one, drinking or using drugs when alone. Number two, drinking or using drugs at unusual times, such as in the morning. Could you imagine having a beer for breakfast? It happens every single day. Number three, keeping alcohol or drugs in unusual places, such as hidden in the home, hidden in the car, or in the desk at work. Number four, developing a tolerance to alcohol or drugs that requires taking more and more to get the same high. In other words, it used to take a pint, now it takes a gallon. Number five, combining multiple substances to get a stronger high, such as taking painkillers and drinking alcohol all at the same time. Number six, lying about or hiding how much or how frequently substance abuse takes place. Number seven, suffering from withdrawal symptoms, including not being able to listen to or be around others, shakiness when trying to stay sober. Could you imagine talking to someone and saying, do me a favor, could you just write this out for me? And their hands are shaking in the pen that they're trying to write on a piece of paper because they're going through a daily withdrawal symptom. Number eight, legal problems resulting from substance abuse, such as, we've heard it, we hear it every day, we see it on the news every day, DUI. Drunk while you're, or driving while you're under influence of alcohol or drugs. Number nine, ignoring old friends or once loved activities to spend time with, but not spending any time with those friends anymore. Number 10, blanking or blacking out the things that occurred when using drugs or alcohol. In other words, what were you doing last night? Oh, I don't know, I was drunk. There's the excuse. Number 11, relapsing into abuse after a period of sobriety, or when you're not drunk or on drugs, or alternating between periods of using and periods of being straight. Now, Robert Hill, who is our guest, is a grateful recovering addict with 24 plus years of continuous clean time. He attends 12-step meetings regularly and volunteers to speak in prison systems to prisoners that are also and were and can be and will be, but not if they listen, be addicts. Rob has appeared on several radio shows and is an author, speaker, and a financial advisor. He is the author of Ask the Right Questions, Get the Right Answers for Sound Financial Retirement Planning. Released in January of this last year, 2017, and Start Over Thinking Was My Problem. Available at many online retailers, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble. May I introduce to you, to the world, to all those that need help so bad that are coming to this show, Mr. Rob Hill. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
All right, there. We're here.
Hi. There you go. See?
We're here.
Now you sound $1 million.
All right.
That's the way to do it. Now, Rob, let me introduce you to my partner on the show. Her name is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. You were talking to her net before. She's an unbelievable lady. I mean, she's my other half on the show. I mean, she can fill in all the blanks that I leave out.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Outstanding as usual.
Well, there you go.
Oh. Rob, it's great to have you on the show today. You know, Bob and I, I'm going to get the Rob and Bob mixed up, but Bob and I have been very busy on sharing things about addictions and alcohol and drugs because we both have had so much of it touch our lives, and we're happy to have you.
Well, I do appreciate being here. I'm happy to be here also.
Now, let me ask both of you guys a question. Did you guys hear the yeah. intro that I brought up? Rob, did you hear it?
The 10 things?
11, but that's okay.
Well, yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Definitely yeah. I heard that.
Okay. These are some things. What I did was I looked all over the net, and I was looking for what would somebody write if they were going to write about being an addict? Or what kinds of things that could happen, or how did you get there, or what was the path to get to where you went? And I couldn't find anything anywhere that made any sense. So what I did was I sat down for a couple hours and racked my brain and came up with something that actually did make sense, including what you are now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been, sober for 24 years?
Yes, actually, I like to call it clean.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I've been clean for 2 days, 4 weeks, 10 months, and 24 years.
Oh, boy. You got it down to the day.
Well, you know, it was a very, very critical decision in my life, and it has made all the difference. Okay? Addiction, I mean, you look at me, I'm a single parent. I was raised by a single parent, my mother, and unfortunately, addiction killed her. Okay?
Ouch.
Very,
very sorry.
I started getting high when I was 11 years old. Definitely a uninformed decision, because when you're 11 years old, you really can't make that decision. You know, so it lasted from 11 years old to the time I was 28 years old. And that's the way it went for me. But we can continue on. It's been so wondrous what has happened when I came across this 12-step program, man. I really can't explain it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay. You got addicted. You had to begin somewhere. What made you begin?
Well, I would say it was the lifestyle, the environment, and the fact that I have an addictive personality. See, what a lot of people don't understand about addiction is that it's a personality. And once you stop using drugs, you still have those same traits. Okay, I just flipped the script. I everything that I used to do on the left, I now do to the right. Okay, I mean I made a U-turn, so to speak.
A 360.
I still have all those traits that compulsion, but it's not compulsion anymore. It's commitment. The obsession becomes dedication and things like that. You know, it's just a 180-degree flip.
So when you made this time, because I mean I've been talking to a lot of people and that who have been in the same situation, and they all come up with the same they refer to something like something just made me start to be straight. Somebody started to tell me I'm in the wrong direction, turn around. Another one told me just 2 days ago, and that the person turned around and they said, someone said I was going to die. And they literally stopped everything they were doing. Now, this is somebody that was on cocaine and could stick more up in his nose than a five-pound bag of sugar.
Right. And, you know, I understand. However, I was also told those things by many, many people. Okay? And my thinking in the midst of my addiction was, just because it happened to them don't mean it's going to happen to me.
Ah,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that, my friend, makes you a fool right there, okay? Because I'm like, nobody could tell me anything about what I was doing. So for me, Bob, there came a time in my life when life didn't mean anything to me. I didn't care about anything. All I could see was all the destruction that I had left in my wake. So on my 28th birthday, I tried to commit suicide. You know, I had several half-hearted attempts at suicide. When I got to this 12-step program, mind you, I've been to 6 rehabs, too. From 1986 to 1993, I was in rehab every year, trying to get a grip on this thing. But they were telling me, well, how much do you use and all this kind of stuff, you know? And, well, that doesn't sound like a real bad problem and all that, you know? And I'm like telling you, when you smoke cocaine, you have got a problem.
Ooh.
Period.
Ouch.
When you smoke that, you got a problem, you know? And me, I'm one of those addicts, you know, if one is good, two got to be better. So when you were running down your list there and you were talking about using multiple drugs, I'm talking about cocaine, alcohol, marijuana, acid, all these. I was a walking around illegal pharmacy. Okay. I mean, I was whatever. If you say one is good, two got to be better.
That's right. It's supposed to...
That was me right there. I mean, I'm like, I'm always trying to get something. And you know what? When I didn't have anything, I started sniffing glue. I mean, I want the buzz so bad.
That's poison, though.
I was finding anything to get high on. And so, it's an insidious disease.
You know,
I used to think it was a curse.
Now
I realize it was a blessing, okay? Because now I know exactly what I cannot do.
Absolutely.
Okay? I know exactly what I cannot do.
Hold on one second. Dr. Jeanette, I know you wanted to say something in there. I heard you breathing.
Well, Rob, you know, I think also, too, the concept that if someone has not been intimately involved with someone who, is using or abusing drugs and alcohol, I think that when they look at it from the other side, it's almost like a farmer is looking at a robotics man. You know what I mean? It doesn't even comprehend in the relationship that one can't see the other. So, you know, Bob, when you were asking Rob when he first started, you know, I have so much addiction abuse in my lineage that, you know, ancestors and stuff that I can intimately talk to this, is that if you see it in your house, you grow up with it, you're 2 or 3 years old and you're walking around drinking the cups off the counter, why would you know any different? You don't know any different. So someone saying to you, when did you start drinking? You're going, well, how the hell do I know when I started drinking? You know, drinking what? What are you saying? I drank something that my mom was drinking. I don't know what it was, you know. So I think the idea that when does it start, when does it get bad, and when do you call it a real crisis is kind of a continuum, but it's really not a beginning, middle, and end at these days. I think what happens, and I'm sure, Rob, you can attest to this, is one day you just go down the road your little old merry way, and you're hanging off the edge of the cliff, and it decides, do you go over the cliff or do you not go over the cliff, right?
Oh, definitely. That was a really great analogy.
You know, because I'm sure, you know, if you don't know any better or any different, that let's say, you know, with abuse in the house, if you don't know that people are not going to supposed to come home and scream and beat each other up every single day. You think that's what people do, right?
Oh,
so how would you not know any differently? So, I mean, I live in the city of New Orleans. Violence here, addictions here, it's common. Because drinking, you know, you can go to a drive-through restaurant and you can get a gallon of daiquiris anytime, any day. Just drive through, stick a straw in the water jug of frozen daiquiris, and you've got Everclear. So, I mean, it's just here all the time. And people say, oh, well, that's just the culture. Oh, well, that's just the way it is. And I think we have too many excuses for the way we do raise our kids, don't you think, Rob?
Well, you know, I would submit to you that we have a lot of kids raising kids, okay?
Right.
We have so many people that are thinking they're adults, but their mentality is nowhere near being an adult. See, what separates an adult from a child is this thing called responsibility. And see, everybody,
conscious decision too.
Right.
Yeah.
The responsibility to make informed decisions, things like this.
Right.
So I see a lot of people, and I grew up in the ghetto, okay? I mean, all we did was drink wine and smoke weed and do all this other kind of stuff, skip school and all this kind of stuff. And the depravity is unbelievable. You know, you just don't do anything, and you thereby waste yourself away. And you know,
do you think it all? I mean, I understand it's definitely that what you're talking about, but also too to understand that it can occur anywhere, anytime, any place, in any house. Because here, a few relatives, you know, great house, big name, big job, went to work, everything was perfect. Came home, you know, and inside the four walls, it was, you know, a gallon of wine within a half an hour, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, what we tend to let people see. But also, I think in both cases, they still have a lack of value of self, or a lack of knowing who they are, or even feeling safe in the place they're in. There's just so many different things that we could talk about, right?
Right. Well, you know, there are a lot of different reasons why people discover that they are addicts. See, it's not that one day you just wake up and say, oh, I think I'm an addict. No.
The
addiction leaves clues, okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, if you don't have a clue, I like to call it aclouistic. That means one having no clue. But I digress.
Right.
You know, addiction is such a devastating disease because it affects every area of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
we, you know, like for me, I figure, okay, mm-hmm. I'll quit doing the drugs and everything will be all right. Okay?
Right.
But that wasn't the case. I quit doing the drugs. Then I really had to deal with these issues that I had created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what the drugs were doing was happening. It's like, you know, Doc, a lot of people ask me, they ask me, so Rob, what is it that you do? And what I want to say to them is that I go around jerking ostriches' heads out of the sand. But you know, when I jerk their head up out of the sand and I say, look at this, look at this, look at this, they say, oh my God, that's terrible. And back down they go. And you know,
absolutely.
When your head is sticking in the sand, there's another part of your anatomy sticking up real high.
That's right.
And that's where most people are at, you know. So I explain to people, see, what my sponsor told me back many, 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 many moons ago. He said, Rob, you're going to have to decide what it is you want, and then you're going to have to decide what you're willing to give up in order to get it. Okay.
That's perfect.
That has made all the difference because we live in an exchange society. If you want this, you're going to have to give up that, period. I wanted to be without the drugs and the alcohol and all that. He said, well, if you want to do that, then you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to work these steps. You're going to have to read these books. You're going to have to carry the message, which was fine with me. You know, I hear so many people tell me how hard it is to stay clean. And I say, I said, compared to what?
Perfect. Yes.
You know,
yes.
If you think it's hard to stay clean, get back out there, try to keep on using. This is the
You know, but Rob.
Yes.
You know when you were saying about all of the different rehabs you went to and everything, many of my relatives the same. They have 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. Some were even in rehab for 3 years at a stint. Mm-hmm. And I think that until you something somewhere in your psyche clicks, you can continue to go to all the rehabs you want and all of them that you need. And then something will happen. Some may take all rehab. Some may take a lifetime of rehab. Some may never get it. Some may get it in 5 minutes. So I think what you and I and Bob are saying is that irregardless of what addiction you're in right now, if you need help, get it. And if it works, great, continue. And if it doesn't, continue, because it may take 20 times. It may take a lifetime. I mean, my relatives, you know, lived underneath a bridge. Another one hung off the end and died. Another one, you know, it was not so good. And another one with several attempts at suicide. And I think what to understand is that there is no, we are really trying to focus in on is there's no one type person that's an addict and this is what it looks like. There's bazillions of different kinds. You have all kinds of traits and you have all kinds of paths and patterns, both getting into addiction and getting out of it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely. You know, it's a funny thing, but, you know, we talked about all these different rehabs that I've been to, you know,
right.
Until a decision is made. See, I was in an uncomfortable position. You know, I didn't know what to do. And when I went to the 6 rehabs once a year, every year from 1986 to 1993. And on February 28th, 1993, I went to my last rehab. And I went there with specific intent. Okay. I had been told that I needed to go to a halfway house, which I didn't do. And so I went to a halfway house. I stayed in that halfway house for 181 days. Okay, and I have not looked back since. Okay, it's been it's just been like that. You know, I say that the decision was made. See, when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same, you will change.
Right.
Okay, and that's what it was for me. See, I was 28 years old, and I was homeless, jobless. I mean, what am I going to do? I got to do something. So then I started looking at all the situations I had created, and what was the common denominator? Me and drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I was too scared to get rid of me. I didn't get rid of me, so I got rid of the drugs and the alcohol. And then I had to deal with this wreckage of my past. Which I must say, it's been a beautiful thing. It really has, because I've learned so much about myself. You know, recovery is a funny thing, doctor. See, when people ask about recovery, you know, I say it like this. I say, you know, recovery is like beauty. It's hard to describe, but you know it when you see it. Okay?
Right.
And that's where I got, I mean, When I chose my sponsor, I made sure that I picked someone that I had respect for and not influence over, okay? So that I could take what he was saying to me objectively, because my sponsor he put things into analogies. I mean, it may, you know, if you paint a picture on someone's mind, they remember it a lot better than they would if they just see the words. No, he told me that, he said, Rob, you cannot see the picture when you're standing in the frame.
Mm-hmm. He's so right.
Yes.
He was so right. And I also said, since you're talking about your the person that helped you,
mm-hmm.
I said in the very beginning of this that an addict can shed, or that person can shed light on what it is like to be an addict and how a higher power, if you allow it, catches your hand and brings you back to the world and the ones you love.
Oh, yes.
This is definitely someone who puts self-worth in you, and you take it from there and run with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that the one thing about that, see, I chose my sponsor, see, because a closed mouth cannot get fed, okay? And so the way that I understand this thing is you got to go for it. You got to go and get it. All the suggestions, that's all on you. You got to do it. It's not going to come to you. You got to go to it.
And this is okay. This is what you profess to the people that you speak to, even in jails.
Oh, hey, I said, you know, I said the same thing my sponsor said to me. What's the common denominator? You know, I used to sit around and cry and moan and talk about all these different problems I got. And he said, wait a minute. Hold up, Rob. Wait, hold up. Look, what is the common denominator in all these different situations? Well, it was drugs and alcohol and me. So I can remove the drugs and the alcohol and I still got me left. See, that is my biggest problem. I am my biggest problem. See, my thinking was twisted. I mean, I was misinformed by a lot of misinformed people for a long, long time. And my sponsor told me, he said, you know, he would say, well, when you get bored, read. When you don't know what to do, read. When you're just sitting there, just open up a book and read. He told me, he said, the reason why you read is because when you read, your mind goes through what I like to call mental gymnastics. Okay? You go from, wow, I don't believe this, to, man, what were they following me around, to, God, could this really be true? Maybe they're right. You know? And all this whole battle takes place in those 6 inches between your ears. And see, my sponsor told me, he made it real plain. He said, Rob, when you hear the truth, you will know it. Okay? And that's why he told me to read the literature out loud to myself. Because he said, you see it, you say it, and then you hear it. And it's the repetition that I laid so much positive on top of all that negative that all I can spot out now is positive.
Yeah, I think also, Rob, you know, that, you know, it's a challenge for people to say that, you know, they really want to change. If also, too, all of their people around them are still in addiction, or if people all still around them are the only people that they know for support. So let's say when someone is on the path of helping themselves or improving themselves or getting things better, and they turn around and everybody around them is like wagging the finger, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't have to do this. You need to come my way. You need to stay my way. You're my biggest bud. You know, you can't mm-hmm. go that way. I'll miss you. You know, those ties, you know, I think sometimes it's really hard to break all of those ties. And even going through the 12-step program, it still is hard. Because you still see people around, you know, and it's like how you restructure your life is really up to you, yes?
Well, yes, but you know, I would go back a little bit to where how hard it is. You know, in the 12-step program, they talk a lot about people, places, and things. Okay, and see, when you decide what it is you want, there's certain things you're going to have to give up. Those toxic relationships and things like, I mean, you can't keep on going to the barbershop unless you're going to get a haircut. You know?
Right.
I mean, you can't be hanging around with them over there knowing what they're doing. You know? I mean,
yeah.
It's not hard. See, once the decision is made, then everything you do lines up with that decision. There is no question. For me, There was no question. The last person that I got high with on February 28, 1993 was my first cousin. And I told him, I'm done. This is it. I'm done. And he's like,
yeah.
He continued on. He's dead today.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh.
And here I am, and I'm moving. I'm striving for something. I want to make a difference. I want to show people that it's possible. You don't have to go. You don't have to die in this thing. But my sponsor told me, he said, Rob, you know, some of us have to die. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You can only help those that want to be helped, period. You know, because when I got clean, the first thing I wanted to do is run around and save the world. But, you know, there's a sentence in the 12-step program we talk about, it's attraction rather than promotion. And that mm-hmm. makes a difference. It's attraction rather than promotion. So you keep walking the walk. My sponsor told me, he said, Rob, you keep walking the walk, and they'll come to you. They'll come to you. You just keep on walking the walk, you know. And it's made all the. I mean, I've had a. You know, there are ups and downs. You know, they talk a lot about life on life's terms and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? That what it doesn't say. It's talking about living life on life's terms. But what it doesn't say is that you decide the terms.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people miss that. They that just. When I hear most people talking about life shows up, they're talking about it in a negative context. Life,
mm-hmm.
Well, you're gonna everything's gonna be going good, and then life's gonna show up. What does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
All right. Like a lot of people, they have no idea what they're spewing out of their mouth. I said, look, you got to engage the brain before you put the mouth in gear. A lot of people mm-hmm. just say things that I mean, you wanna. Spread life. That's what I've gotten from this 12-step program, you know. And I'm in a state that I like to call autopilot, because I work all the time, every day, 24/7. It's all the time. It's automatic. It's automatic.
You know, when you get to that place and you're on the other side, it feels so. It just doesn't feel as heavy. It feels lighter. It feels unencumbered. It doesn't. You don't feel like you're in the middle of a snowstorm with 20 sets of clothes on, and you can't breathe walking uphill. You know, it just has such a lightness to your being that you just kind of want to crave that all the time, don't you think? I mean, it's something that you just can't get enough of, and you just want it all the time.
Did you know what? I couldn't have said it better, okay? Life is for the living. And we got so many people that, you know, they talk about jails, institutions, and death.
Right.
What they don't say about this thing called death, when you say death to most people, they're thinking 6 feet under. But there is a spiritual death prior to that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you're walking around and you don't care about anything, don't care about anyone. All only thing that you're focused on is getting one more.
Yeah.
At any price. You know, we pay the highest price for the lowest level of living. It's mm-hmm. unbelievable what a person will go through for one more. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know? I've seen some situations where I just say, my God, what is wrong with me? How did I get here? You know, how did I get here? And you know, there's a trap door. It goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hanging on for dear life. You know, people say, well, Rob, mm-hmm. you can't be happy every day. I say, if you've been where I've been, you'd be happy every day. Because mm-hmm. I know that I'm on the right path.
That's right.
Yes, I mean, yes, go ahead.
You know, it's a, when you find that in your head you believe, and that's probably where they get stuck is the word you believe or you think or you feel like you know, what is your reality that you've created seems so, it takes away the pain, it takes away the questioning, it takes away the effort. You just show up, and then you're just on the quest for almost, it's almost like a snake never wants to be a bird, and it never aspires to it, you know, because it only comes out in the dark, kind of idea. So kind of, if they've never seen it, if they've never seen something that's different or that they could be anything else or might possibly see that they, you know, when people say, well, what is your dream? Well, you know, an addict is not going to tell you his dream because they've never had any. They don't know what that means. You know, how can you know something different if you've never had the potential idea to think there could be anything different, right?
Well, you know, yes, because, you know, with addiction, it's a funny thing. It's a self-imposed prison. I mean, you're locked in this 8 by 8 foot cell, and you stay there. I mean, life is just running right by you. See, there is no reason in the world why anyone has to be ignorant today, okay?
Mm-mm.
But people are, and you wonder why. You know, wonder why, and it's because they're focus is off. Their focus is off. When I was into that into my addiction, you know, 18 years ran past me like a blink of an eye. 18 years. And it was just gone. And the last 24 years, I have been playing catch up. You know? It's been...
Yeah, I
mean, you know, many times, Doc, many times, regret for the things that we've done is fleeting. It's regret for those things that we didn't do that haunt us. All those things you didn't do, that's what's going to plague you. And so I have been playing catch up with all this stuff. I mean, many times I ask myself, I wonder if I never got high, where would I be at?
Right.
You know, if I never got high, because I was smart. I was smart. I was great in school. And when I took that first puff of marijuana, everything changed. Everything changed.
Yeah.
My whole life took a total 90 degree. I mean, I'm talking about a 90 degree turn right there. When I took that first puff of marijuana, everything changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think also, too, the idea that people travel, let's talk for a second about people travel from one drug to the next drug to the next drug. I think it's pretty easy and pretty commonplace because it's almost like, you know, people just have different things that they do in their life. They find pleasure. If that pleasure is not enough, then they're going to go to the next level. You know, I can remember many times taking out the inside soles of a relative's shoes to find the pills in there that they were stored, you know, or, you know, milk containers in the refrigerator filled with milk and liquor or whatever, you know, or bottles of Robitussin all over the house because they were using that at the time too. And, you know, I think that sometimes we say, well, why doesn't someone see that? Why doesn't someone fix it? Why doesn't somebody do anything about it? I think for a second, you know, Rob, let's touch on that for a quick second, because it is not that anyone can fix someone else. You can see it, you can lead them, you can guide them, you can put them there, you can take them there, you can everything. But truly, truly, the only change can come inside of you. Yes?
Oh, totally. I'm in total agreement with you. My sponsor put it in such a way that he said some of us have to die, you know?
Yeah.
He told me because, you know, early in my recovery, you know, I wanted to go out and save the world. I see somebody open a beer, I said, no, don't do that. Don't drink that. You don't want to do that. But you know what? Everybody's not an addict. Everybody's not an addict.
Yeah.
I envy the people that can do it socially and keep their life on a straight trajectory and all that kind of stuff. It's just not me. I was one of those ones that once you get it started, there ain't no turning it off. once I get it, there's no turning it off. So I cannot do that. And so the people that don't realize, I mean, their life is a wreck and they're still continuing on. I mean, I pray for them, but that's about all I can do. Because until they reach out, there's nothing you can do for them.
Right. And there truly isn't. And I think sometimes, as you said in the beginning, is that the carnage and the roadkill that you leave behind is pretty devastating sometimes.
Almost.
Sometimes it's also necessary that you leave behind those that don't work for you either. You know, you may leave family members, spouses, or relatives, jobs, or professions, and those are the things you must also leave, yes?
Oh, most definitely. See, well, you know what? What you are willing to walk away from determines what's going to come into your life, okay?
Right.
Toxic situations are that's it right there. I mean, it takes a person that has a clear mind, they're not high or anything, to sit back and look at the results of what you've been believing. And if what you have been believing is not producing what you want, then you got to change what you believe. See, I believe that I would get high forever. I believe that I like the taste of alcohol. I believe that getting high was just getting high. But now I know better. See, getting high keeps you stuck. It keeps you, it's a regression that goes on, you know, and you're walking backwards instead of forwards.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it keeps you, most people that I know and I look at, they use alcohol and drugs and all that to justify why they're so unhappy right now. Well, I deserve it. I worked hard all week. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to get messed up today. You know, I've been working hard all week, but see, it keeps you stuck. You can't change. All you do is whine and complain about it. That's it. But they do have a choice and they don't realize it.
It's an issue or an addiction or too much or too little. Really needs to change because, you know, they took out tobacco out of CVS, but, you know, CVS now has 5 lines right at the front door of alcohol. And, you know, kids walk in, they put it in their pocket, and they walk out with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's now a society that we need to change. You know, we always want to clean up the end, people, but we don't want to say how it got there. Do you know what I mean?
Almost.
So
definitely.
I think to work from both ends, you know, is really the most important thing. We keep trying to fix people because we feel like they're broken, and then we whine about it when they're not. But if we stop putting it in, you know, in our homes, if we stop having it in our grocery stores, lobby CVS. They'll make a change. They'll get it out of there. They don't want it there either. Lobby these people and ask them so that lives can change in society from a different viewpoint. Like, catch it on all fronts, right?
Well, see, we can't get to a point where we want to take away people's choice. Okay.
But we also don't have to have it everywhere.
you can say that, but I mean, if somebody pulled up to my house and dumped a truckload of cocaine on my front lawn, I would just break out my water hose and wash it down the drain. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. That's me.
Yeah.
People have got to be informed. See, I believe with my whole heart, the reason why I started getting high was out of sheer ignorance. Sheer ignorance. See, when I started getting high in 1976, there was no such thing as don't ask or just don't do it, just say no and all this kind of stuff. There was none of that. And then I'm moving around in this environment that is perfect for sprouting out all over the place, you know. It's perfect for that. But see, that was my choice too, because the same way that I started, there were other kids that didn't. Not all the kids got caught up in this thing. I wonder why me? Why me? And so I liken that to the fact that I have an addictive personality. And it was just the drugs that brought that thing out of me. Okay? I mean, now I'm addicted. You know, I get high now on accomplishment, achievement. I love speaking in front of a group of people and see the light come on, you know?
It's a rush, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, and if it's good for you and it doesn't hurt nobody else, it's good for them too. So that's where I'm at right now. You know, I love to tell people all the time. You know, let me backtrack a little bit. There was a situation where I ran into someone that I grew up with in high school, and she was on this crack thing, right? And she, I was a few years into recovery, and I said, well, why don't you just stop? And she looked at me, and she said. Yeah. She said, it's in me. I was like, wow. I mean, I got a shiver. I mean, I got shivers down my spine the way, I mean, she was convinced that it had mm-hmm. taken her, it had taken her over. And she's passed away today too. You know,
mm-hmm.
And now you talking, I mean, when I was getting high, they didn't have crack cocaine. We had it was called Freebase back then. Now they got the meth, the crocodile, right. All this other stuff out there, and it's 10 times worse than when I was out there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so, thank you, Lord, for sparing me the agony. Because, oh my God, it's so much worse now. It's a lot worse now. The marijuana, they're legalizing the marijuana and all that kind of stuff, which is, I have no problem with that. They should legalize it. They legalize alcohol. Alcohol kills more people than, you know what I mean? But that, I digress. They legalize it. They tax it. The government gets their share of it. The people getting theirs, and we're still going to have addiction. It's going to be around as long as man is walking. So,
right.
I mean, for those that see the light and come over, yes, we're glad to have you. And for those that don't, well, you know, we'll be there when you do wake up.
I would definitely, I'll vote on that one for sure. You know, Dr. Jeanette knows that we're here, we're doing these shows because something turned me into doing what I'm doing. Back in October, I lost my son. And that was an overdose of heroin.
Oh, my God.
This whole network, and it was built on truth, spiritual, healing, medical, archaeology. You name the subjects. I mean, I've talked to senators on here. I've talked to everybody that you can possibly think of. And all of it, for some reason, always led back to one spot. And it was mm-hmm. always to heal the person, the purpose, and the soul, and the spirit. Mm-hmm. It always came back to that. No matter what I did, no matter who I talked to, it always came back to the same thing. So, in October, that's when I said, we can help people by people just listening. They can make up their own mind. It's them that's going to change. I'm not going to change them. They're going to change themselves. By listening and saying, maybe, you know, what that guy said, you know, that was pretty, you know, really. Anyone can call these shows. Anybody. By calling 843-300-1399. They can call up. They want to talk to us. To Dr. Jeanette. To me. Even to you right now. They can call up. We can give advice. Well, let's not. All right, let me go. Let me take that another route. Instead of giving advice, we can give them suggestions.
I like that. I do like that.
Because if I give them a suggestion, it works differently on the brain than if I turn around and say, "You have to."
Right.
Because the only thing you have to do is breathe, and if you don't, then you don't.
You don't have to do that either.
That's it. There you go, right there. So by doing shows like this, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to a high school in Las Vegas that is a high school where children who are addicted go to high school. There's counselors there. There's a lot of reading, a lot of books, a lot of stuff. These are kids that are excelling in what they're doing. They're stopping all the drugs, and they're unbelievable people. It's an unbelievable school. It's never been done before, and they actually got a bunch of people to fund it to put the school net together. So I had the principal on the show, and I also had one of the founders on the show, and I also had one of the counselors on the show, all in the same place. And I'm going to have all the kids in the school on the radio. I want to know what's going through their head. These kids must be high on life at this point.
That's the best way to be.
So if they're in that highway of being high on life, imagine how many people they can touch if more people know what they're doing and what they feel like and what they're saying and what they want to suggest.
I agree.
So by getting all this and getting the word out, we are doing a service for the whole world.
Most definitely.
And that's the way to do it. And what you're saying so far, Ned, on the show, I mean, we've never talked to somebody that actually was actually an addict.
Oh, yes. Well, you've got one now.
Well, yeah, but you're willing to tell us all about it, too. One of the things that...
I was tore up from the book, you hear me?
One of the things that you said before, and I said in the beginning of the show, is many addicts convince themselves that they only use by choice. And you said that word, choice, because it was their choice to do it. But they also say, and I've heard this too a million times, well, not a million, maybe a half a million, that they can stop anytime they want to. Now, which part of that sentence is baloney? I mean,
no,
I'm serious.
I would submit to you that the whole thing is blown. You know, half the truth is a whole lie. Have you ever heard that experience is the best teacher?
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe that?
Sure.
Well, you know what? I would submit to you that experience is the best teacher is only half the truth. And the whole truth is that somebody else's experience is the best teacher. Because experience is only the slowest, most unforgiving teacher that you ever want to get with. Why not learn from somebody else? You know the best way to go through a minefield? Follow somebody.
That's right. That's in his footsteps.
Yes.
In his
yes.
footsteps.
I mean, I was told that all the time. Experience is the best teacher. But you know what? Experience costs time. And in this place called addiction, experience can make you pay the ultimate price. That's why we share our experience, strength, and hope with others so that they don't have to experience it for themselves.
Let me ask a question. How many times did you get questions from the people that you talk to? Just questions about, okay, well, you said this, well, you said that. How do I do it? You ever notice how every single one of them consider themselves different than you?
Well, yeah, everybody considers themselves different.
But one of them that are on drugs considers themselves different. Like what I say to somebody, they say, well, you've never been an addict. And I said, no, that's why I'm asking you. it's like, hey.
Right? But see, that is the trick of the disease called addiction.
Is that, yeah?
See, the book addresses that. It says we look for similarities, not differences. We got to go with the similarities, not the differences. The differences will keep you out there getting high. It's the similarities that you need to embrace.
While we're talking about this, okay, you've been through it. You took the 12 steps. You went through the withdrawals, the remaking yourself, which is something that everybody goes through. It's like rebooting your brain. You've gone through all that. Now you're a financial advisor. You have written books, as a matter of fact. One book, in fact, it's on the blog today that a couple of people asked me questions about it. Ask the Right Questions, Get the Right Answers. That was a book that you had written for sound financial retirement planning, which was released in January, I believe, of 2017. And another book, I believe, called Start Over, Thinking Was My Problem.
And I'm working on that one again. I'm going to be releasing that here in the next few weeks.
So it's going to be a reboot.
Yes.
Nice. So, okay, now that you're doing what you're doing, how do you feel about yourself now, and how would you tell somebody else, look at me?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say look at me. I say look at what could be you.
Ah, good one.
See, I mean, it's not, I am only an example of what can be. Okay, you can be so much more than what I've done because, like I was talking about that thing about experience, I've learned so much over these past 24 years that you can do what I've done in half the time by listening to me.
I was thinking about somebody opening up a door and saying, okay, so that's you. So how do I get to be like you?
Right. And I would say to them this right here. You don't want to be like me. You're shooting too low. You want to be better than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
You got so much more in you. Oh, my God. See, the journey of recovery is a journey of discovery. Okay? See, we've all got talents and abilities that we don't know we have, and they're only going to be shown to us by reaching for something we know we can't do. Okay? Like, I never thought that I would be in the position that I'm in right now. A lot of people can't believe it. You used to do what? Rip you?
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the people that I be around with now, they can't believe where I came from. And where I came from, those people can't believe I'm where I'm at. It's a serendipitous type of situation, right? It's like staying up after bedtime when you're still just a kid, you know? It's like biting into a York peppermint patty, you know?
Oh.
that was
touching. Oh. You know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing after the show? You want to talk about that mint thing? There is a huge piece of chocolate cake waiting for me out there.
Oh, man. But you know, Doc and Bob, it is so important that we share with others that, see, a lot of people are walking around here, they're living lives of quiet desperation. They have no idea what to do. What to do? What should I do? What can I? And so what we need to do is we need to keep on carrying the message out there, letting people know that there is a way out.
Yes.
You can do it. You can do it. But you're gonna have to reach out for it. It's not gonna come and it's not gonna come to you. You're gonna have to go to it. Okay? The same way with the addiction. The drugs just don't come to you. You got to go to them. The same way with recovery. You have got to go to it. You got to seek and ye shall find. You know?
Perfect.
A lot of people just don't. They're stuck. I see so many people that I feel so sorry for them, but I can't do it for them. I can't do it for them.
It gets people stuck when they're sick. It gets people stuck in mental health. It gets people stuck in addictions. That it is what they can't define, so they don't step out for fear of the unknown.
Right. Well, you know, Doc, most of us would rather face known hells than unknown heavens. It's crazy. You know, I like what you were saying.
When you're in it, they can't, they wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we do now. We see it. We understand it. We can look back and reflect on it. But when you're in the deep of it, heaven is just another place. Hey, hand me the ticket. Punch it now, you know?
Oh, my goodness. You are so right. You are so right.
Well, let's do this. Let's start wrapping this up a little bit by telling everyone out there, Annette. This is how you can get in touch with Rob. Rob, how can we get in touch with you?
Or you can visit www.rhillenterprises, that's RHILLENTERPRISESINC.com. Or you can reach me at rob@rhillenterprises.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those different things. Just punch in R-O-B-B-H-I-L-L, and you can find me.
And all that information is right now on leaks, on links, should I say. Mm-hmm. And they're all live right now on the chat room, and they're also on the scheduling blog on bobcharlesshow.blogspot.com. So you can get all that information just by clicking on it and go nuts. Get in touch with this guy. So thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you very much for having me.